Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening to Bible Crossfire. Bible Crossfire is different than a lot of other preaching programs. We preach the Word here as we have opportunity, as we have a chance, but the main focus of the program is to allow you to call in and discuss the different doctrinal differences between the churches, or the different things that people preach. You know, 2 plus 2 can't equal 4 and 5 at the same time, yet we have one preacher saying this, another preacher saying this, and they contradict one another. And so this program allows you to call in and we discuss these things, and here's how we settle these issues. We let God's Word settle the issue. So if a person teaches, a person has to repent in order to be forgiven of sin, and another person says, no, it's not really necessary to repent to be forgiven of sins, those two things both can't be right. Either we do have to repent to be forgiven of sins, or we don't have to repent to be forgiven of sins. And so what we do is we examine and see what the Bible says, find out if the Bible says we have to repent in order to be forgiven of sins. Let me show you a passage to start with on this little issue. Luke 13:3. There Jesus says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now what is Jesus saying here? Is he saying we do have to repent in order to be forgiven, or we don't? He says, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. That's so clear you can't misunderstand it. If you don't repent, you're going to perish. And he's talking about spiritually here. So the Bible teaches that a person has to repent to be forgiven of sins. We're going to look at some other passages. But let me give you that number again to call. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. Here's another passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Here's what the Bible says there, and I quote, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God is longsuffering toward us. He doesn't want any of us to perish. But he doesn't just say he doesn't want us to perish. He says, but that all should come to repentance. And so obviously, what he expects us to do to avoid perishing, which is what he desires for all, he expects us to repent. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So he wants all to repent so they don't have to perish. Again, he's talking about perishing spiritually. 2 Peter 3:9 then proves, just like Luke 13:3, conclusively that a person has to repent of his sins in order to be forgiven of them. Now, when I say conclusively, we get all the time talking to people, even on this program, where they call in and state their opinion about things. But they never give any Bible proof. Sometimes they give a Bible verse, but it's not really even on the subject. I'm not just saying these verses are on the subject. These verses conclusively prove that a person has to repent to be forgiven of his sins. Conclusively prove. They're not just evidence, they're conclusive evidence. So that opinion that's called in every now and then on my program, well, Pat, everybody sins, so it must be okay to sin. Now, it is true that everybody sins, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 10. But the conclusion that follows, therefore it must be okay to sin, is patently false. The idea is that since everybody sins, it's okay to sin, and we don't have to repent of our sins in order to be forgiven of them. But we've just shown two passages that proves that's false. How about Acts 17, verse 30, where the Bible says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. So this is a command of God that we repent. If we sin, we're not to say, well, everybody sinned, so that was okay. God won't be bothered by it. No, God commands us to repent. He has said if we don't repent, we're going to perish spiritually. So it is serious when we sin. We need to repent of our sin whenever we sin. We never need to have this attitude, well, I sin all the time, God's just going to overlook it. No, We don't need to be sinning all the time. We need to try to live more like Christ, who never sinned, and sin less and less every day of our lives. And when we sin, we need to be heartbroken about it, just like God is, and we need to repent of it. And if we don't repent, we're not going to be forgiven, according to these passages that we just read over. 877-655-6755 is the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment. 877-655-6755. There's another idea that keeps popping up on the program. This idea of once saved, always saved. That once you're saved, you're always saved. That a Christian can't fall from grace. Well, that's just another way of saying, if you're a Christian, you don't have to repent of your sins to be forgiven. Because here you are, you're already a Christian, you sin, you don't repent, you're going to be saved anyway. Once saved, always saved. But that flies right in the face of the passages we've been reading that require us to repent. So if a Christian sins, he's required to repent of his sins to be forgiven of them, just like a sinner who's becoming a Christian is required to repent of his sins in order to become a Christian. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Let's read Acts 2:38. Peter, talking to some people who weren't Christians yet, they were believers but not Christians yet, he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So for a sinner to become a Christian, for him to get the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2:38 says he has to repent and be baptized. You see, repentance is required. If he doesn't repent, he won't receive the remission of sins. If he's not baptized, he won't receive the remission of sins. He's got to do both. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Repentance is required to receive the forgiveness of sins in every case. God never, ever forgives sin without repentance. This idea of once saved, always saved, that says that a Christian can sin and be forgiven without repentance, because he's a Christian, it's like he has a license to sin. Once saved, always saved. He can't fall from grace. It is absolutely false. It is wishful thinking. There's no scriptural support for this doctrine, once saved, always saved. I have a tongue-in-cheek challenge that I make quite frequently on this program. You turn to any random page in your Bible, tell me the page, and I think I can find at least one verse on that page that conclusively proves this doctrine of once saved, always saved is false. Any page in the Bible, because there's dozens, there's hundreds of passages in the Bible that proves once saved, always saved is false, and there's not one to support it. It's only wishful thinking. This idea that a Christian can sin, and be forgiven without repentance, that's once saved, always saved, is absolutely false. In Acts 11, verse 18, we read this. When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The only way to get life is if you repent. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the only way to get your sins blotted out is to repent, according to Acts 3, verse 19. It's clear. The Bible says it over and over again. People want to deny it because they want to live any old way they want to and still be saved. And God says, no, absolutely not. If you want to be saved, you got to live the way I tell you to live. Hebrews 5 verse 9, talking about Jesus, said he is the author or the source of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Meaning if you don't obey God, you will not be saved. And when you make a mistake in trying to obey God, you sin. You have to repent in order to be forgiven. We've seen that from these many texts. Charles from Pennsylvania, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, how you doing tonight? Just wanted to expound on exactly what you're talking about. You're absolutely right. The thing that we need to remember with the repentance, and I think a thing that goes along with what you're talking about, the once saved, always saved, is with repentance, that the key meaning of repent is to go the other direction. It literally means go the other direction. It's making a decision to no longer live that way. Some people get it in their minds that when they repent, oh, I repented of my sin. Well, you're committing the exact same sin over and over and over again. You're truly not repentant of it. You just think that this is something that's going to appease God. So when Scripture is talking about being repentant, that is a total lifestyle change, which is to what you're talking about. But we, you know, going along with how you were talking about once saved, always saved, this is something that it definitely needs to go along with it. So I appreciate you preaching the word, and you know, this is stuff that needs to be challenged and needs to be combated. The twisting and turning and verbal gymnastics that's being played with Scripture in such a way that it is leading people in the total wrong direction. So I just wanted to call in and sort of add that 2 cents to what you were saying.
Hey, Charles, you're absolutely right. I have a friend that's talking about the concept of what you're talking about. People, Christians or whoever, they act like they say they're repenting, but they don't make a change in their life. They're not really repenting, Charles. They're reporting. They report to God what their sins are, but they're not repenting. They're not really making up their mind to change their life. They're reporting, not repenting. You see what I'm saying, Charles?
Oh, absolutely. It's like the little child when you ask them, are you sorry because of what you did, or are you just sorry because you got caught? You know, a lot of people, that's unfortunately going to be, you know, the discussion that they have when they're standing before the Lord. You were never sorry for what you did. You just felt sorry, and you feel sorry now because you were caught.
Charles, that's a great analogy. Thank you for calling in and expressing the truth in a very effective way. I'm looking at Matthew 21, and this illustrates what Charles is talking about what repentance means. Matthew 21:28 says, "But what think ye? A certain man had 2 sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." And so what did repentance mean for this son? He wasn't going to go to work, but he repented and went. He changed his direction, just as Charles was talking about. It's not just reporting and saying, "I've sinned." It is making up your mind you're going to make a change in your life. That's what repentance is. He wasn't going to go work, but afterward he repented and went. He changed. Benjamin from Kentucky, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I just had the comment, like, well, everybody knows when you become a Christian, you enter into a relationship with God. And for once saved, always saved to be true, that would mean both parties would be equal. And we are not equal with God. Our love is not perfect. Our love can change. Like Judas changed. He started following Jesus, but he, like, changed his mind and fell away.
Very good point, Benjamin. You're making a very good point. Thanks for your call.
Thank you. Bye.
And just to follow up on what Benjamin is saying, is I have a friend who makes this great analogy. You don't see any road signs in North Alabama that says, "Beware of the sharks." Beware of sharks. And you might see that in Mobile or in Florida, but not in North Alabama. Why? It doesn't make any sense to put up a sign that says, "Beware of sharks," because there are no sharks here. Likewise, it doesn't make any sense for God to warn Christians against falling away so many times if that's impossible. Here's one, Hebrews 3:12. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Why would God warn these brethren, these Christians, warn them of changing to an evil heart of unbelief and departing from God if that were impossible? No, the very fact that he warns them not to depart from the living God shows it is possible for a Christian to depart from the living God. And you can't depart from New York City unless you were in New York City to start with. And so it's impossible to depart from the living God unless you were with the living God to start with. So this is talking about Christians. It warns them against departing from God to changing over to unbelief. People say that's impossible, but that would be to warn Christians against this in God's word would be like warning people in North Alabama, "Beware of sharks." It wouldn't be possible. It's absolutely absurd to teach once saved, always saved in light of what the Scriptures teach. Joe from Florida, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
How you doing tonight, sir?
Thanks for calling, Joe.
Yes, sir. I agree with you 95% on everything, but even no matter my denomination, I just disagree with the once saved, always saved. It's because I believe if I'm living for God the best I can, God says no one can snatch you out of my hand. And as long as I'm living the best I can, and I agree 100% with you as in if you call yourself a Christian and you keep doing the same things over, you never was really a Christian in the first place. That's a part of having a relationship with Christ in the first place. You have to repent of your sins. And most
so
people
John,
do right after they do sin, you know?
So, Joe, in John chapter 10, where it talks about nobody will pluck them out of my hand, John 10:28, it begins that by saying, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So this is talking about, Joe, a follower of Christ. No man can pluck them out of God's hand. But now, what about a person who was a follower of Christ and they quit following Christ? This verse doesn't apply to them. This only applies to a person who is following Christ. We're not talking about that person. We're talking about a person who became a Christian, then they quit following Christ. And see, if they're not following Christ anymore, then John 10:27-28 doesn't apply to them anymore, because this is only talking about people following Christ. Do you follow me, Joe?
Yes, sir, most definite. But you can come back to Christ. You can repent, rededicate your life, because I've did it like four times, fallen short of God's glory, messed up, and then I've repented and come back to Christ, and I've been living the best of my ability as a Christian.
That's exactly right, Joe. You're making a good point. And the problem is when preachers preach that you can, that when you fall away from Christ, you're going to be saved anyway, even if you don't repent, even if you don't come back. That's the false teaching. You understand what I'm saying, Joe?
Yes, sir. I agree with you 100%, brother, and I appreciate that. I agree with you 100%.
Thanks for your call, Joe. If you have a Bible question or comment, give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. And what Joe is talking about is what we've been our emphasis in this program. Yes, a person who falls away, a Christian who falls away, which is certainly possible. We see that in passages like Hebrews 3:12, James 5:19-20. If they fall away, they can come back to the Lord. That's called repentance. But what about a person who falls away but refuses to repent? That's what we're talking about. They're not going to be saved anyway. That's the once saved, always saved. That's the false doctrine. Ezekiel 18:21. Now, I know this is in the Old Testament, but here's what Ezekiel 18:21 says. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. So what does the wicked have to do to live spiritually? He has to turn from all his sins. Now, that would apply to a person that's never become a Christian to begin with. He's got to turn from all his sins. But suppose a person becomes a Christian and then goes back living the ways of the world. He becomes wicked. What's he going to have to do to spiritually live? It says the wicked, he's going to have to turn from all his sins that he hath committed. He's going to have to turn from all of them in order to live so that he won't die spiritually. And so this is another verse that teaches conclusively that a person has to repent of his sins in order to be forgiven of them. Kevin from Louisiana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Yeah, good to talk with you. And I'm not, challenge may be a little strong word, brother, but I like to put some thoughts into the conversation. You know, it sounds a little on the side, it makes me a little nervous of you're speaking a little bit on the work salvation side of things, because, you know, as I read my scripture and understand salvation, you know, Christ did what the work what needs to be done on the cross. And, the idea of, you know, by faith, you know, by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. And then in 1 John 5:11-12, he says, he who has the Son has the life, who does not have the Son has not the life. You know, the understanding of eternal life is, I don't do anything to save myself. I don't do anything to, keep myself saved. And so repentance,
Kevin,
yes, go ahead.
I appreciate what you're saying. In Ephesians, you're right, Ephesians 2:8-9 is basically saying, we're not saved by our own works. In other words, our works do not earn our salvation. The death of Christ does that. But a passage like James 2:24, which says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only, shows that the salvation provided for by the death of Christ is conditional. And so that's all we're saying. We're not saying we earn our salvation with our works. We're saying the salvation paid for by the death of Christ, earned by the death of Christ, is conditioned upon our faith and obedience. As I read, James 2:24, ye see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Faith and obedience. We already read Hebrews 5:9. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So it takes faith and obedience. And when we trust and obey God, we're not earning our salvation. No, the death of Christ does that. We're just meeting the conditions that God says we must meet in order to receive the salvation provided for by the death of Christ. Rebecca from Mississippi, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I was calling about the verse that talks about reaping what you sow.
Yeah.
As a supervisor, I'm a supervisor, so I got people working under me. If I have to fire somebody, which I have to do, does that mean that somebody's going to fire me? I'm going to reap that?
Well, the passage in Galatians 6, verse 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." No, it's not talking about the fact that if you have to fire somebody because they did wrong, that you're going to be fired. What it's saying is, if that employee that's under you, let's say they don't come to work but every other day, and when they come to work, they spend all their time on a smoking break, and they never get the job done. They're sowing a bad, they're not being a good employee, and so they get fired. So they reap what they sow. Now, the same is true religiously, Rebecca. Even if we're talking about a Christian here, if a Christian, a person that's become a Christian, does not continue to live faithfully, he's sowing, we'll call it bad works. He's not living according to God's will. He loses his salvation. Galatians 5:4 says, "Ye are fallen from grace." And so a person reaps what he sows. And so he does not live according to God's will, then he loses his salvation. That's reaping what you sow. You see what I'm saying, Rebecca?
Yes.
Now, let me read you another passage. James 5:19 and 20 says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." This is another passage that completely debunks this theory of once saved, always saved. We're talking about brethren here, brethren in Christ. One of them errs from the truth. Our job is to try to convert him back. If we're able to convert that person back from the error of his way, we save his soul from death. Now, the necessary implication is if we're not able to convert him back, let's say he refuses, his soul is going to die. So here's a brother who errs from the truth. He refuses to be converted back. His soul dies. Do you see how that proves once saved, always saved is false, Rebecca?
Yes, sir.
And that illustrates the verse you brought up in Galatians 6. We reap what we sow. That's true about the person who hadn't become a Christian when he sins, and the Christian who goes back into sin and they won't live faithfully. They're going to reap what they sow also. They're going to be lost because they refuse to repent of their sins. Now, Andy from Kentucky, we only have a minute or two left. Can you make your question or comment pretty quick?
Yeah, I'll go quick. My question for you is it sounds like there is a potential sin that Jesus did not die for, if you're indicating that a person could be saved and then once they've been saved are no longer saved. So my question is what is the sin that Jesus was not worthy enough to die for that a person could lose salvation? Because that's what it sounds like you're saying.
Yeah, but I'm not saying that. Jesus died for every sin, but the forgiveness based upon the death of Christ is always conditioned upon repentance. It's always conditioned upon repentance. And so without repentance, we're not going to be forgiven. Without the death of Christ, we're not going to be forgiven. Jesus dies for every sin, but every sin has to be repented of in order to be forgiven. Isn't that what Ezekiel 18:21 said? "But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die." The implication is if he doesn't turn from his sins, he will die. Even though Jesus died for those sins, he's still going to die because he did not turn from his sins. Acts 8:22, Peter is talking to Simon the sorcerer, a person who became a Christian and then fell into sin. He said, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." So a Christian who sinned was told to repent in order to be forgiven. The implication is that Christian did not repent, he would not be forgiven. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Send me an email, BibleCrossFire@email.com.